Man, would you pray with me? Father, we hold true to that song we just sang, that it's not by our might or our power, but it's by your Spirit. Lord, and I know that there's some things that people are facing today that seem overwhelming, that seem impossible, but you are a God who does the impossible. And so we pray for just the power of your Spirit to move in each person's life, each person's heart right here, right now. Whatever need they have, Lord, meet that need today. And Father, as we open up your word, may your word just come alive to us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak. Let your presence be in this place, be in this room today. Give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying and a heart to walk in obedience to what you're calling us to do. Bless this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All right, we want to dismiss 5th and 6th grade class, the 5th and 6th graders are dismissed to go to their class. It's right out those back doors right there. Well, I'm super excited to be sharing with you this morning. I am actually team teaching today with my wife, Bev. She's right over here. She'll come up in just a minute. Many of you probably, you've heard me talk about her, but you never see her because she's always in the kids' church room doing kids' ministry. And we're going to be teaching today on marriage. And marriage, it just came to my head. Marriage is what brings us together today. I'm sorry, squirrel. So we are in a series called Entrusted. In this, we believe that God gives us all things. And he's given us time, he's given us talent, treasure, he's given us the gospel, and he's given us relationships. And he's asked us to be good stewards of those things that he has given us, that we are entrusted with those things, and we are to give those back to God and serve God with those things. And so today, we're going to look at that God has entrusted us with relationships, and specifically what I'm going to talk about today is marriage relationship. And I know that today there are different people here today. Some of you are married, some of you are not married, some of you are divorced, some are widowed, some are looking, and you're like, hey, man, there's an empty seat over by her, maybe I should sit there. Some of you are like, that ship has sailed, man. I'm gone with that. And so I understand, Joyce, I understand that there's different people here for that. And so it's easy for us when you come to a service where the focus is going to be on marriage relationships, like, well, that doesn't apply to me. And you could check out. It's God's word. And so God's word can speak into your heart and life, whether you're married or not. Whether you're going to get married or not, look at this into all relationships, because we can interact in different ways in relationships. So these truths that are going to be talking about marriage will also be truths beyond just marriage into other relationships. You with me? Okay, good. Because if not, you already sat down, and if you got up, it'd be really awkward. So Bev and I have been married for 31 years. We just celebrated 31 years. Last week, I think it was. And I should say this, we are not marriage therapists. We're not. So if you come up and say, oh, I want to talk to you guys about my marriage, we're like, here's a card, this person's really good. We are not marriage therapists. We just read the Bible and try to do what the Bible says, and we've had some ups and downs in our marriage. We've had good experiences, almost all good. There's been some not so good, but we've learned from our mistakes, and we learned how to work a marriage. And we're just hoping today we can share some of what we've learned over the last 31 years with you. But more importantly than that, we're going to share God's word with you, and what does God's word say about marriage. And so that's what we're going to do today. Ultimately, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Ephesians 5. If not, the scripture will be up there. We'll be in other passages of scripture today as well. But in Ephesians 5, Paul is talking to this church in Ephesus, and he's speaking in the last chapter 5, he's speaking about relationships. He speaks about parents and children, and then he speaks on marriage relationships. And he sums up the marriage relationship in verse 33, Ephesians 5:33, and it says this: "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So there's two words in here that I want us to focus on: love, respect. Love and respect is at the core of what we're going to be talking about today, and it's at the core of marriage relationships, that a wife is to respect her husband, and a husband is to love his wife. So love and respect, those are the two heartbeats of everything that a marriage is about, love and respect. But before we get to the how, because Bev's going to talk about how can a wife respect her husband, and I'm going to talk about how can a husband love his wife. Before we get to the how, I want to talk to you about the why, because the why is the most important thing in this. Everything we do for the glory of God. Everything we do. So this entrusted series that we've been in about God's entrusted time, treasure, talents, the gospel, all these things, all of it are gifts to us, but we are to use those gifts that God has given us back to the glory of God. We do it for the glory of God. Everything we are about is about, hey, this is all about Jesus. I almost fell over. This is all about Him. This is all about bringing Him glory, all about bringing Him praise, all about bringing Him honor. And so I am to love my wife for the glory of God. Bev is to respect me for the glory of God. And so ultimately, everything we do is about that. So Genesis chapter 2, God defines marriage. He says this: "Therefore, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they'll become one flesh." So this is the foundation of marriage. Back in Genesis, God says, "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined together with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And it's a picture. We'll see if you read further on in the Gospels, it's a picture of the church, that Paul talks about this in Ephesians 5, that this is a representation of Christ as the groom. The church is the bride coming together in oneness, and it's all about that. It's a picture of this. So let me get this straight. Marriage is God's idea. It was ordained by God. It is purposed by God. It is defined by God. The Supreme Court does not define marriage. Social media does not define marriage. God defines marriage, and this is what we need to focus in on with this, that we are in a marriage covenant, a covenant relationship. So, point number one in your thing says, why are we to love and respect one another? It's out of a holy reverence to God, out of holy reverence to God. I was reading the other day in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 38 through 41, and I know you all have this memorized, so, but I'm going to share with you what that says. This is God speaking to the people of the nation of Israel, and this is what He says: "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, and that they may fear me forever, for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make with them an everlasting covenant, and I will not turn away from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts, that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing good, I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will plant them in this land in faithfulness and all my heart and with all my soul." So this is God speaking to the nation of Israel, but I believe it's be speaking to a marriage relationship as well. He uses the word fear here, fearing God. Now, fearing God is this idea of there should be this fear, like, oh my gosh, that's God. And there should be like, God, I'm not God. And so there should be this kind of a scared fear of God. And there should be this reverence for God. And here's the problem I see in the modern day church is that we take the reverence and the holiness of God for granted. I think we come into a church place like this and we think it's all about us. Oh, I love that song. Oh, I love that message. Oh, I love this. Or I love that. It's not about us. It's about Him. And we need to come into this place with this holy reverence for God, this fear, a fear and trembling. I know in Hebrews it says that we could come boldly into the throne room of grace, and we're invited to do so, but it's still a throne room. And we need to come in with this holiness and reverence and fear of God, of who God is. And so ultimately, with my relationship with my wife, with Bev, my relationship is I'm ultimately accountable to God of how I love her, how I treat her, how I respect her, how I care for her, how I provide her, that I'm going to stand before a holy God who created her and created a marriage relationship, and I'm going to give an account saying, Dane, did I measure up? And that should bring this, whoa, right? This reverence that how I treat her is out of really, I'm doing it as unto God. A reverence, a praise, and worship to God. It changes the way I look at marriage, right? If me being a husband is worship to God of how I treat Bev, then it changes everything about how I treat Bev and how I respond to her and how I love her and take care of her. And so ultimately, marriage is a covenant between God and us. That when we enter into a marriage relationship, I've done numerous weddings through my years, tons of weddings. And yes, we sign a contract, a legal contract with the county. Here, you sign this, you got a witness, all that stuff. Yes, but it's more than that, so much more. It's a covenant that I am making. I am making vows before God and before my family and friends. And I say, I vow that I'm going to honor her, I'm going to cherish her, I'm going to keep her in sickness and health till death do I part before God. And so it's a huge, huge responsibility and great, great honor and privilege to do. And so we need to understand that why we are to love, why we are to respect is because I love Jesus. And I'm doing it for honor and worship to Jesus. So with that as an introduction, I'm going to bring Bev up and she's going to talk about how wives can respect husbands.
Good morning. Hi. Woohoo! I'm excited. I'm a little nervous. I'm not used to standing in front of adults. My crowds are a lot smaller, and they laugh at my jokes a lot easier. So, are you ready, ladies? Awesome. I just want to say the things that I'm going to share that you may think, well, that's hard. And I'm going to say, yes, it is, because marriage isn't easy. But I'm going to tell you this. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? We can show respect to our husband even if we find that it's hard. Because ultimately, we are glorifying God. He is our number one. He's the person that we are loving and serving. And our husbands are just lucky to have us. All right. Sorry, slide person. I may be all wacky. That's because I have the mic. All right, here we go. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to look at a scripture today Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. This may be hard for some of us, but I just want to preface and say that before the scripture, it does say in verses previous that we should submit to one another. So remember that, submit to one another. And then it gives us some examples. So in verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. And now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit everything to their husbands. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. The word submit gets a negative reputation, right? Especially us strong, independent women who, But let's look at the word submission, what it's not. Submission is not bowing to your husband. It is not a husband ruling over his wife and everybody in the kingdom bows down to him. That is not what that means. Actually, submission is a response to Jesus. We are to use submission to build up, and it's to reflect the gospel in my husband's life. So my job is to reflect Jesus into my husband's life. Not the Holy Spirit telling him what to do, but to reflect Jesus' love for him in his life. When Dane and I were oh so young, before we got married, we did pre-marriage counseling. We were babies when we got married. I was 21, he was 23, he had lots of hair. I was a little skinnier. But we did pre-marriage counseling, which I would encourage any young couple to do. It exposes things that you're bringing into the marriage, right? I have all these ideas from watching marriage throughout my life with my parents. He had all these ideas of watching marriage through his parents, and then we come together with different ideas, and we're trying to mold a marriage that glorifies God. Well, during our counseling time, they had a book that he had us read. I don't remember it, but I do remember one big takeaway in the book, and it struck me. I love Jesus. I want to serve him all the days of my life. And in this book, it specifically says, as a spouse to a partner, your number one priority is your spouse. You are the closest thing to them here on earth. You are to minister to them. Your job is to minister to them. And that struck me because all of a sudden where I was like, meet my needs, it's changed to, I need to learn how to meet his needs. Through the Holy Spirit, with the help of God, I need to learn how to meet his needs. Now, every marriage is different. So you might look at mine and say, oh, I'm like her. But no, you're different. And God will show you how to meet the needs of your husband. So the first way, meet needs, respect, right? We're doing love and respect. So the first way that we respect our husbands is to honor their leadership. To honor their leadership. God ordained the husband to be the head of the household. We, as wives, are to honor his leadership. We can do this in a couple of ways. One way is that we don't undermine their leadership. Now, Dane and I are partners. It is not like what he says goes. We work together in unity. We are equal on the same plane. But I defer to his leadership. We make decisions together, but I defer to him. In front of my children, I defer to his leadership. I don't follow blindly. I follow his leadership, and I honor him as he trusts and follows Christ. We make the decisions together, but I let him lead the way. Anybody have kids in the household? You might recognize this if you have younger or even older children. My children did this. I have four wonderful children. I love them. But they learned at a young age how to pin us against each other, right? So they come to me and be like, Mom, I really need to do this. I need to really go here. I need to really buy this. And I would say, what did your dad say? Well, I didn't ask him. you should go ask your father. And then they would go and ask Dane, and if Dane said no, then I would support his decision. Now, that doesn't mean I blindly follow. If I feel like, maybe we should let the kids do that, I'm not going to go in front of the kids and be like, Dane, you're wrong. I would we would talk somewhere else, we'd discuss it, and then whatever we decided together, I would defer to him. So the first thing is, to respect your husband is to honor his leadership. We honor it by not undermining the decisions that he makes. The second thing is, to show respect to my husband, is to speak kindly and encouragement to him. Proverbs 31:26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Don't you want to be known as a wise woman, full of kindness? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This is important. We do not, as women, want to make other people feel less than. We want to use the power of our tongue to encourage and to speak kindness. One thing I've always tried to set out to do in our marriage is to speak encouragement about Dane and kindness when I'm with him and when I'm not with him. We were newly married, and we would hang out with a couple from our church who were a little bit older than us. And it was really fun. But I started to notice that the wife would like to tease her husband. She would tease him about whatever, you know, decisions that he makes, the way he talks, the way he dresses. You know, and it's funny for a while. But then even when we were alone, she would put her husband down. And it made me feel very uncomfortable, like, very uncomfortable. So from that point on, I always determined that whenever I was around other people, either with Dane and with me or with Dane wasn't with me, and I would speak encouragement and good things, positive things about my husband. I did not want to belittle him. I do not want to belittle him. I don't say anything or speak down about Dane to my mom, to my best friend, to a prayer group. I do not want to belittle, but I speak kindness and encouragement about him. Now, this doesn't mean I'm not honest when he has mistakes or shortcomings. It's not like he walks on water. When I see there's an issue, it is out of my love to help him and to encourage him, not to belittle him or put him down. How you address your husband's shortcomings is very important. This is where prayer comes in. Pray. Ask God for wisdom and direction on how to address things with your husband that you see. You want him to succeed. You want to lift him up. And sometimes when we see him walking down the wrong path, we're quick to like, hey, don't do that. That's wrong. You shouldn't do that. That's weird. You want to stop and pray for wisdom so that the words that come out of your mouth are wisdom and full of kindness. They'll receive that much better than if you're being naggy, right? In Proverbs 27:15 says, a quarrelsome wife is as annoying as constant dripping on a rainy day. Don't be annoying, ladies. Don't be annoying. Communicate in a way that's honoring to your husband. I am honest with Dane, and I tell him if we are heading in a wrong direction or if the decision he's making is a good one or a bad one. Learn how to communicate with your husband that is respectful and that works for both of you. Now, I'm going to share a little funny story. I think it's funny. It's more going to be embarrassing to me than Dane. Dane was afraid that I'd get up here with a mic and say all kinds of embarrassing stuff about him. No, I'm the embarrassing one in the relationship, honey. So we were newly married. Well, not newly. We'd been married a while. We had 4 young children, and so we were very poor. Anybody know what that feels like? Small children, no money. Okay, this is where we were at. And we got invited to Salt Lake to listen to a presentation on a timeshare, to receive free things. And we were so excited about the free things. That's what drew us down there. Free food, free gas, free lunch. It was a glorious date right there. So this was our date. Date planning at our finest. So we got a babysitter. It's probably my in-laws because they were awesome. And they took our 4 little wild children and watched them for the day, and Dane and I drove on down, and we had a plan in the car. We're not buying a timeshare. We don't have the money. We're not buying a timeshare. Don't say yes. He's looking at me, because that's what I would have said yes to. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not buying a timeshare. And so we were strong in our resolve. We just want the free stuff. We want the free stuff. So we get there. We're enjoying our free meal, and they had this great presentation. Has anybody ever gone to one of those things before? Yeah, they are good. They are well trained on getting you to sign that contract. And so we were there listening, and we were all about it. Oh, yes, for a measly $5,000 that we don't have, you can have a lifetime free, I don't know, trip to so-and-so. Of course, you have to pay your plane ticket, but you get this really cheap staying in Hawaii. Oh, sign me up. I'm there. So we ended up getting excited about it, going to the back office. Now, here's where the fun starts, right? They get you in that back office, and they kind of zero in on you, and they're so kind and complimentary and funny, and, you know, they get the contract out, and they're getting ready. And all of a sudden, I was like, this is a bad idea. We said we weren't going to do this. This is a bad idea. So instead of, like, being all, hey, maybe we could have a minute and talk about this, you know, I started to stress out. And when I stress out, I have two reactions. I either cry, sob, or I laugh hysterically and inappropriately. Guess which one I chose? Wasn't laughter. So Dane's got the pen in his hand. He's getting ready to sign the contract. And I start to sniffle. I don't think this is a good idea, I say under my breath. And the tears start to come down. And then I slump over and start sobbing. I don't know if this is a good idea. And Dane's like in shock. The poor salesman's in shock. And I am bawling, blubbering. And Dane's like, maybe we need a minute. So, needless to say, we did not sign the contract. And I jumped up and ran out of the room. And poor Dane had to be like, so I don't think we're going to do this today. Do we still get our free gas card? And I bet the people in the waiting room, when I came storming out of there with red face and snot everywhere, were a little concerned about what they got themselves into that day. All that to say, that is not how you communicate, right? That is not the way to be encouraging. But we ended up not signing the contract, so that's good. Needless to say, submission, encouragement, letting him be the leader. You're not the yes girl. I'm not a yes sir. I am honest with my husband, but I do so out of love and not to shame him. I want to be affirming and encouraging to him. Remember, God is giving me the gift to minister to this man. This man God loves so much. The man sitting next to you, God loves so much. And he wants that person to know his love. And we have the responsibility through his Holy Spirit to minister to him. Okay, I affirm him with a job well done. I'm not going to toot my husband's horn, but I have a pretty awesome husband. Thanks, my mother-in-law. She's trained him well. My husband does all the cooking in the house. Yes, he does. Every dinner, he does it. Of course, I can't cook, but it's out of necessity. But he is willing to do it. And that's one thing that I appreciate about him. He's willing to do those things. He takes care of dinner for us. He also does a lot around the house. He grocery shops because he cooks. So he does. He grocery shops for me. He does our laundry. That's right. Come on. He is a, and ladies, sometimes he'll clean the bathroom and the toilet. I know. I'm telling you, I'm tooting his horn. He's amazing. Now, I don't think that he would continue to do these things for me if I didn't thank him and acknowledge how grateful I am for what he does, how hard he works for me, how well he takes care of my family. It brings joy to my heart to be an encouragement to him, to Dane. The last thing my husband needs to hear is negative, complaining out of my mouth. You didn't do this. Why did you forget that? Why won't you do this? Why aren't you like that? Why can't you be like him? That is not encouraging, and that is not kindness, ladies. We need to be encouraging, and we need to have kindness in our mouths. Be a champion for your husband. Be kind. Be encouraging. Let them know how amazing they are. All right, number three, faithful and supportive. Faithful and supportive. In Titus 2, 4 through 5, it says, "So train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, and the word of God may not, that the word of God may not be reviled." Respect your husbands. You should encourage him to pursue his dreams. Encourage him. The world is tough, right? They have to provide. They're working hard. Our husbands need us to be faithful and supportive. We need to be their biggest cheerleaders so that they can pursue their passions. A man wants a purpose. He wants to matter. He wants to make a difference. Support him in his dreams and desires. When Dane and I were in youth ministry for 11 years, and he finally felt like God was calling him to be a senior pastor, to be the shepherd of a large church, we had the opportunity to apply. I don't know if you know this, but pastors apply for churches as you would apply for a job. So you send out a resume, and we sent our resumes out to 27-plus churches in a matter of 4 years, three or four years. And there were a lot of no's, actually, 27 of them. And I would encourage him and pray for him. Even though we kept hearing no, I would encourage him, keep going. This is what God's given you to do, and pray for him. And I also tried not to push my desires on him because I'm from California. I loved the state of California. I wanted to live back in California. We got married and Dane moved me to Utah of all places. At least it wasn't Kansas, all flat. There's at least mountains, right? And I, man, when we had this opportunity, I was like, ooh, Jesus, you can move us back to California. Ooh, Dane, look, there's an open church there. Ooh, that's only a few hours away from my parents. Oh, Dane, look, there's an open church there. Ooh, that's only a few hours from the ocean. Pushing my desires on him. But God knew better. So I just encourage him. And I would say, let's just do what God has for you. He's going to open the door. See, we are a team, right? We're on this journey of life together. I am here to support him. He is here to support me. You need to encourage your husbands to pursue their dreams. Also, give them chance to have some fun. I know. Remember, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Let them have some fun. I'm sure your husband has a hobby. I bet you can't guess what Dane's is. Anybody know? Golf, that's right. My husband does love to golf. He does, and I support him in that. I tell him all the time, as a matter of fact, all the time. I say, are you golfing this weekend? He's like, no, you better go get a tee time. He's like, why are you like this? Because, honey, when you're happy, I'm happy. When you get a chance to do something you love, then you come home and you are full of love. And you feel appreciated. And it just makes our marriage better. So if you can encourage your husband to pursue a passion, a dream, do it. It'll benefit everybody. Be supportive of them. Be faithful and supportive. So our biggest thing, ladies, is we need to pray for our husbands. Bring them before the Lord. Pray that God gives you wisdom and understanding, compassion and kindness, respect. If you're having a hard time respecting your husband, pray that God helps you to respect him. God can help you do that. God can help you to be encouraging if you don't feel like it. God can help you to be supportive if you don't feel it. God is there. He's given you the gift of your spouse to minister to for your life. I encourage you. Pray for him daily. Honor his leadership by by not undermining him. Speak with kindness and encouragement. Be faithful and supportive. These are ways to respect your husband. All right, Dane, your turn.
Okay, I want to share real quick. Oh, man. I need some water. Thanks. How to love your wife. How to love your wife. So three quick things. Number one is sacrificial love. Oh, my gosh. Sound like a girl. Okay, Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. So we are to love our spouse, love our wives, as Christ loved the church. So how did Christ love the church? Well, he came from the throne room of heaven down to earth, became a man, became a servant to men by washing their feet and dying for men. So that's an example of love. And so we as husbands are to sacrificially love our wives that way, that we get down from our high place, we get down from whatever, and we serve our wives. And we love them, we wash their feet, we'll do anything for them, we will go to death for them. My goal as a husband is to serve Bev, just as she says, her ministry is to serve me. My ministry is to serve her, to meet her needs, to serve with the kids, serve with around the house, taking the initiative to do different things. Just as Christ came to love and serve me and die for me, that is my responsibility as a man to serve and take care of my wife. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we get a description of what love looks like, because we're talking about sacrificial love. And this is a verse that I read all the time in when I do wedding ceremonies. And it's this, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Listen to the definition of love. Love is patient. It's kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So, men, how you are to love your spouse. Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you bearing all things? Are you believing all things, enduring all things? Are you boastful? Are you rude? Are you arrogant, irritable, or resentful? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. How am I supposed to love my wife? Do that. And as Bev says, I could do all things through Christ. It's Christ in you. It's the Holy Spirit in you that enables it. Because sometimes, let's be honest, your spouse is not very lovable. I know that's a shocking thing, but you are to love regardless of how they are responding. You are to be kind regardless if they're kind to you. You are to show respect regardless if you're receiving respect. You are to do these things because that's what Christ has done for you. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And so I am to live that way as unto my wife, is to love her and be a sacrificial love. Number two is I'm to nourish and cherish her. Ephesians 5, 28 through 29. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. So, as I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, we are to love our wives as we are to love our own bodies. Now, guys, I don't care if you're like 70 years old or 17 years old. When you walk by a mirror, you go, yeah, I still got it. You know, you kind of love your body. You take care of your body. You go work out. You eat right, most of us. You do things. You dress nice. You try to look nice. You make sure everything's right. And then what else do? You go and you want to be respected, so you go and you want to be seen. So what do? We buy the cars, we buy the trucks, we buy the Harleys, we buy all those things because we want to be seen. We want to be well respected in our craft of what kind of job we do. So we do our job to the excellence of our ability, and we's like, we want to succeed in our job. All this is about us, right? How we live, how we work out, what the way we dress, what we buy for ourselves, how we work, all this stuff is all about us. And what Paul is saying here in Ephesians is that you are to love your wife the way you love you. To love your wife that way, just as much as you want to succeed, I want her to succeed. Just as much as I want to be healthy, I want her to be healthy. Just as much as I want things, I want her to want things. And so I am to love my wife those things. I want her to fulfill her dreams. I want to listen to her. She's a teacher, and she teaches third grade. And I got to be honest with you, I don't really care about third graders. I mean, if your third grader is, you know, the champion of the world, God bless you. You know, but she's a teacher of third graders, and sometimes she comes home like, I'm going to kill them. because you know your kids, you would want to kill them too. And so sometimes she just needs to word vomit, just spill it out. And I don't need to fix it. And that's hard for me because I'm a fixer person. Most guys are. We want to fix the problem. But sometimes you just need to be quiet and listen. Listen to just this vomit coming out. Yeah, they're hellions, you know? And so you just, that's a demon. So you just listen and you share. Whatever they're going through, you listen to them and encourage them and don't always have to bring a solution and listen to their dreams, champion them. And then I would say, how we are to love them is to teach them through God's word. Lead a Bible study with them. Lead in prayer for them. This is something we didn't do this early on in our marriage. This is something we've done maybe the last 5-10 years, is that we have a Bible study every morning together, and we read God's word and we pray together. And once we started doing that, things changed in our marriage. Our love for each other grew just simply by opening up God's word, and we hold hands and we pray for one another. And it just like, wow, just that? Yeah, just that. It brings God right back into the center of a relationship. There's something exciting for a man to hear his wife pray over him. It's awesome to hear your wife pray over you, pray a blessing upon you. And it's such an honor and privilege that I have to pray over my wife, to pray a blessing over her, to speak over her and encourage her. And men, we are to take the lead in that. And then number 3, show understanding and honor. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. There's 3 things I want to point out real quick that just jump out at me. First, live with your wife in an understanding way. 2, show honor to her. And 3, so that your prayers won't be hindered. So let's talk. Live with her in an understanding way. This has been tried since Adam and Eve. For men to try to understand their wives. It's hard. But what this is saying here is, in the Greek, it's live in an understanding way means gain, to grow in knowledge of her. To grow in knowledge of her. So who I married 31 years ago is not the same woman. Her dreams, her desires, her passions are not the same as they were when she was 21 years old. They've changed over the years. And so as her husband, and my desires have changed over those years, but as her husband, I need to grow in my understanding of who she is and who she is becoming. And so I got to learn to grow in, Get to know your spouse. Sit down and talk to them. Grow in understanding of who they are and ask questions about their life. Ask questions about their dreams, their desires, their fears, their anxieties. All those things is points to a healthy relationship where you as a husband are growing in understanding of who she is. Then it says to honor her. To honor, how do you do that? When she walks in the room, does your heart jump? Man, every time I see Bev, my heart just leaps. I'm like, dude, she hot. And my heart just jumps. I'm like, I get to be married to her? And it's just this fullness of love within me. And I honor her. I honor her in front of our kids. I honor her in front of other people. Just as she doesn't speak ill will of me publicly or privately, it's the same goes. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are pleasing to God and to her. That I honor her that way. And I respect her that way. And then it says, so that your prayers will not be hindered. That is huge, dude. That is a huge statement. That if I am not growing in my understanding of who Bev is, and if I'm not honoring her, God will not hear my prayers. That's huge. That my prayers are hindered if I am disrespectful, if I am angry, if I am frustrated, if I've sinned against her. God's not, if I'm coming to go, oh God, would you bless me? He's like, shut up, dude. You go talk to her. Get right with her. Right? You want your prayers answered? Be honoring to your spouse. If you sinned against your spouse, you go and seek forgiveness. And this is both male and female. You go and seek forgiveness of your spouse if you sinned against them. It's elsewhere in Scripture. Jesus says, if you have a disagreement with somebody and you bring a gift to the altar, leave your gift there at the altar and go be reconciled to them and then come back to bring your gift to the altar. And so we as husbands and wives, we are to honor and respect and say, man, I had sinned against you. I did this. I was holding these feelings against you. I did this against you. And so you seek reconciliation and then the heavens will be opened up. It goes back to what we read in Jeremiah, where it says, and then he says, and I'll hear you and I will bless you in the land that you're in. I want to be blessed. I want my marriage to be blessed. I want my relationship to be blessed. And so I cannot control how she responds to me. I can control how I respond to her. I have a choice with every decision, with every thought, with every argument, with everything that I have a choice. Am I going to do it in a God-honoring way, or am I not? That's the decision I have. And so, husbands and wives, we are to love one another, we are to respect one another, we are to cherish one another. And so if you have sinned against your spouse, if you have done something against your spouse, go make it right. Because ultimately, everything is about God. And as I said, we are honoring God, we are going to stand before God one day, and you are going to give an account, say, how did you love your wife as Christ loved the church? How did you respect your husband as Christ respects the church? Are you doing that? And some of you today probably got a smile coming into church, but on the way to church, you didn't talk. Some of you today need to say, man, we need to get this right. We've been disrespectful, and we certainly haven't been loving. And we need to work things through. Some of you need to go to a marriage counselor. There's nothing wrong with going to a marriage counselor. And some of you need to go through therapy and work on some things. Get the tools you needed to help deal with that. But ultimately, it comes down to, I have a responsibility before God and before her, and if Bev, same way, before God and before me, to love and respect. I can only control what I could do. I can control my heart, my attitude, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can do that. And if we all endeavor to do that, man, I think marriages will flourish. If God is at the center, Jesus is at the center of everything we do, at the center of everything we do, everything. all unto his glory. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask Bev to come up and pray for us. Sorry, worship team. We'll not close in a song, but if you are married today and your spouse is here, as Bev leads us in a prayer, I want just hold their hand. Hold their hand. If you're married today, and Bev's going to lead us in a closing prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I just invite you in this place. Oh, Father, I just come before you and thank you. Thank you for your word that is alive and active. Thank you for your example to us of what a marriage should be. Lord, I know that in this place there are many people that are struggling right now with hurt, discouragement. Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit you would bring healing. That, Father, you would bring them encouragement by your Holy Spirit. That if the tomb is empty, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
Lord, you can restore. You can heal. You can change the hearts and minds of people. Lord, I pray for those that are here that maybe have a spouse that doesn't believe in you, that, Father, they have found you as their Savior, but their spouse does not. And I pray for those spouses that don't know you. I pray, God, that they would turn their hearts and minds to you, that, Father, they would find salvation, that, God, you could use their use those spouses, Lord, those wives and husbands that have a heart after you to be a light in the darkness. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would come, that you would make our marriages strong, that, Father, we would be able to share your love with those around us. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace, and your love. We just commit our lives to you in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your weekend, everyone.